Good morning. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Let's stand.
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen, 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 amen. How many of you believe that anything is possible with the Lord? Amen? Amen? How many ever been at a place where you thought this is a dead end? You thought to yourself, this is a dark, dark place, and I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And yet the word of the Lord says that with God, all things are possible, which means that as a believer, do we face trials? Yes. But do we ever face dead ends? No. Because God is the God of the valley. He's the God of what seems to be a dead end. He's the God of disappointment. He's the God of dark areas where we just need the light of Jesus Christ to shine brightly. And so this morning, maybe you have a need on your heart, but would you just lift your hands and let's dedicate this service unto the Lord. Lord, you are the light of the world. Lord, your word says we're like a city on a hill, Lord. And I pray that in the midst of all this darkness, in the midst of what the media may describe as dead ends and devastation and destruction, God, your word says you came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And so, Lord, we ask right now that you would be in this place. Lord, you'd be in our worship as we lift up our voices and praise you. You would be in our prayer, Lord, as we petition you and petition the throne room of God. As we give thanks, Lord, to what you have already provided for us. Lord, would you be in the midst of the message today, that it would challenge our hearts, it would lift us and encourage us. Lord, would you be in the midst of this sanctuary today. Lord, we welcome your presence. We welcome your peace. Lord, we welcome you into this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated.
With the wrong daughter.
September 10th and 11th is the women's conference called the Daughters Conference. It'll be hosted at Crossroads Church here in Oklahoma City. And we have been advertising this for the last few weeks. Wanted to let you know that tomorrow is the deadline for the early birds. So if you register and turn in your money to Miss Carol or to my wife Kelly by today, then it is $10 cheaper after that. The price goes up $10. And so how many of you like to save money? Come on. Amen. And I just want to encourage all the ladies in the church. This is a tremendous event, and I know that you will enjoy it, that it will feed your soul, and it will just encourage you and strengthen you. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of this. We usually have a pretty decent-sized group that goes and gets to hang out and fellowship. And I know sometimes, ladies, you get tied up with husbands and kids and everything else in life, and this is a good time just to get away and just be with other ladies of like mind and just be rejuvenated. And so we want you to take a part of that. And so early bird ends tomorrow. So you want to make sure and turn your money in so you save some money, okay? Well, if you are a guest this morning, we want to say thank you for being here today. And we are so happy that you've come to worship with us. I'm going to ask that you would grab the card in the seat back in front of you that says we're glad you're here, and fill that out for us. That just gives a record of your attendance, helps us to know that you came to visit with us today, and we would really appreciate it. If you just put it in the offering bag, it's going to pass in just a little bit here. That would be really beneficial for us, and we would appreciate it. Got some announcements for you. Who got their bulletin? Everybody got their bulletin out? If you don't, then if you're taking the lazy option and letting me read, that's fine. It's fine. A couple of you out there, I already can sense maybe you left your reading glasses at home, and so you need me to read it. That's fine. That's fine. So a couple of announcements. We already talked about the women's conference. Also, this Saturday is a big day for some of our young ladies, some of our young women here in our church. And we're going to have the girls' ministry celebration at Crossroads Church this Saturday at 1 p.m. And you can see the names in there, but I'm going to read them off anyway. Briley Peters is going to be an honor star. Kayla Smith is going to be an honor star. Paige Idell will be honored as a girls-only graduate. And Kira Boydston will be honored as a girls-only graduate. So let's give a hand to these four young ladies already. Amen. Way to go, Kira. They do a lot of memorization and study and learning the scripture, and so we're so proud of them for that. Also, Pastor will be offering a kind of discovery and membership class. This class is not only for those who are interested in membership, but maybe for those of you that have recently become a part of our church. You just want to discover more about what our church is about and what we believe, and just want to hear from the heart of Pastor Steve. And so on Sunday, August 22nd and 29th, over here on the west side of the sanctuary, Pastor will be offering that during the Sunday school hour. And so would love for you to come be a part of that and hear from our pastor's heart as he shares more about our church and our beliefs and just kind of part of our DNA. So looks like we're doing tremendous on the Tractor for Trent. Looks like we've raised, given over 12 grand so far. And that is awesome, awesome, awesome to the glory of the Lord. I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we give or receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen. We had a wonderful time on vacation. Missed you guys. And Kelly tried to lead me in the ocean, but I swam out and got to the car before she could drive off. So I'm back. I'm back. Awesome. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give back. Lord, that you would multiply it once again. Lord, we pray, Lord, that people would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to use our finances to the honor and glory of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Darkness falls, it won't breathe.
Greatest weapons is when we worship and praise. You know, when we're going through something that's difficult and the enemy's just in our face telling us we're not good, we're not worthy. He is so confused when we can stand up and we can sing praises to God, even in the midst of the storm. And it just confuses him, you know it? We have to use our voice, we have to lift our voice to him, and we just have to praise him sometimes, even when we don't feel like it. Jesus. God, let your power just rest on us today, God. God, let your spirit, God, just rest on us, God, and give us a peace today, Jesus, that the world doesn't understand, God, that the enemy doesn't understand. Jesus, just lift our spirits, God, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of pain and heartache, God, just lift our spirits to you, Jesus.
Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. The gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. And come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when
your Spirit rest upon us, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. We praise you, God. We lift our voices to you this morning, Jesus. And we glorify your name, Jesus, no matter what we're facing today, Jesus. God, you are our strength. You are our joy. You are our confidence, Lord Jesus. You are our comforter, God. Whatever we need today, God, we come to you and we get it from you, Jesus. I worship you, God. I'm praying, God, come and turn this thing around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. I'm calling on the name. Changes everything. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. Say, I'm praying and God come. I'm praying God come and turn this thing around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. I'm calling on the name that changes everything. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. And all of my hope is in the name of Jesus.
Turn it around, God, turn it around. something. He is up to something. God is doing something right now. He is up to something. He is up to something. God is doing something right now. He is healing someone. He is saving someone. God is doing something right now, right now. He is healing someone. He is saving someone. God is doing something right now, right now. He is moving mountains, making a way for someone. God is doing something right now, right now. He is moving mountains, making a way for someone. God is doing something right now. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough will come, come in the name of Jesus. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough will come, come in the name of Jesus. God, turn it around. 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 God, turn it around.
Lord, we pray for a turnaround in our country. Lord, as we're singing that, I'm thinking how much we need to see a great turnaround in our country. Or turnaround to go back to the truth of the Word of God in every way. Father God, just heal our land, we pray. Bring revival, bring restoration. Bring a great awakening to those who are asleep. Father God, touch your church. Empower your church to be light, to be salt. Lord, turn things around, we pray. Lord, be with Ansel this morning. I pray that you touch him as he fell this week. Touch him. Be with Tim Shortis, who's not feeling well. Lord, we pray that you would be with all of our students as they head back to school, both elementary, middle school, high school, college. We pray, Father God, that you just let them have a great year. Be with the teachers, administrators, support staff, custodians, bus drivers, coaches. Lord, we just pray that you would let this year be a great year in every school. Lord, just have your way in the remainder of our service this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
As the world emerges from a pandemic, it's time for a message of hope.
I want you to know tonight that God loves you.
The God Loves You Tour is a series of evangelistic events featuring encouraging music and a powerful message from Franklin Graham. This tour wouldn't be possible without dedicated volunteers.
This is a great opportunity. Whatever city you might be in, anybody can serve. That's the great thing about it. Every person plays a vital role in reaching every person who comes and makes a decision for Christ.
Our volunteers are equipped with invitations, posters, yard signs, and other materials to help us get the word out.
We really wanted to pass out flyers around our town. So
let's go for it.
This is a time to bring your friends.
There are signs popping up all over town. It's an 8-city tour.
We couldn't wait to get involved. We were going to do everything we could to get people to this event so they could hear the gospel.
Volunteers are vital in our outreach efforts, and they play a big role on the day of the event. Their work helps set the stage for the presentation of the gospel. Be prepared to see God work in a mighty way.
It's so cool to see the body come together and rally for one cause. You gotta be involved. You just gotta be involved.
You can have your life changed tonight. You can have a new beginning tonight.
How do I feel to be used by God? My tears, I think, express that.
Look what God has done. God is good.
I'm just glad that I was here. It's an experience that you cannot explain in words, but you will never forget.
Franklin Graham, God Loves You Tour is stopping in Oklahoma at the South Lawn of the State Capitol on September the 25th. It's a one-night crusade. We will be taking vans that night for those that would like to go. Tomorrow evening is a prayer and a night of worship and prayer. It's going to be at the South, let me get this right here, Southern Hills Baptist Church on South Penn. If you would like to go to that, we are going to take a van. We're going to leave here at 5:45 tomorrow evening. The former worship leader, Freddie Washington of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, will be leading the worship and speaking. Also, Christian life and witness classes, if you'd like to know more about sharing your faith, and if you'd like to serve as a counselor there on September the 25th, there are these brochures in the back. You can pick those up there in the foyer, and you can find out when those classes are going to be. And then the day of the event, again, September the 25th, Franklin Graham will be speaking, Newsboys will be singing, and some other groups, and so it'll be a great night. And so we just want to make you aware of that. It's a good time for the church to come together and to do something about the lost that's all around us. And so how many of you have ever been to maybe back in the day it was a Billy Graham crusade? Anybody been to a Billy Graham crusade? Yeah, those are always so wonderful, and they do a Billy Graham Evangelistic Association does an awesome job of putting these together. And so anyway, we'll be praying for that. And like I said, if you want to go tomorrow night, be here at 5:45, front parking lot, high roof van. We're going to go together and be a part of that. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 4, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, as we're continuing our series on life lessons. We're looking at people from the pages of the Bible who though they are long dead, still speak to us, still have a message for us. Hebrews 11:4. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Father, we pray for your blessing over these next few minutes as we look to your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thus far, we have looked at six people who are long dead from the scriptures. Let's review them real quick. The first week, we looked at Abel. And his life lesson was this, to always seek to do what is right. Secondly, we looked at Barnabas. Barnabas gave us the lesson of being an encourager, being someone who lifts others up. Then we looked at Caleb. Caleb gave us an example of being a faith-filled man or woman of God. Last week, we looked at three more. We looked at Demetrius. And his lesson for us was always seek to be a good example. Then we looked at Enoch about leaving a godly legacy. And finally, we looked at Felix, Governor Felix. And his lesson for us was don't play games with God. Today, we're going to look at five of them, so I'm going to move quickly. And for the next three times that I speak, we're going to do 5 each week. And so that will be a total of 26 when we are all said and done as we are going through the alphabet. So today we're going to begin with the letter G. And the person we're going to look at who is long dead but still speaks is none other than Gideon. Gideon. After the death of Joshua, Israel's leader, the nation turned away from God. And God allowed raiders and other people to come in and cause a lot of distress, cause a lot of harm, do a lot of robbing and a lot of pillaging and taking over people's lands and destroying Israel. Well, the Lord raised up judges to rescue them from their enemies. Look at Judges chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Judges 2, 16 and 17 says, "Then the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites from their attackers. Yet Israel did not listen to the judges, but prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors who had walked in obedience to the Lord's command." You know, it wasn't that long ago, just a few years before, as we talked about this last week, that Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And so they were doing this. They'd serve the Lord and then they'd fall away from the Lord and serve the Lord and fall away from the Lord, much like we see happening in our country and in the world today. Well, Gideon became Israel's fifth judge after Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, and Deborah. Now, to say that Gideon was excited about following the Lord and raring to be a judge of Israel would not be correct. He was not excited about that. He was reluctant to obey the Lord's call on his life. Let's look at that. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.' 'Sir,' Gideon replied, 'if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you.' 'But Lord,' Gideon replied, 'how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family.' The Lord said to him, 'I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man.'" And as you continue to read the account, you will see how Gideon ended up putting out a fleece to see for sure if this was what God wanted him to do. In fact, he put out two fleeces about what the Lord wanted him to do to see if that was really true. He was just having some doubts about the whole thing. It's a quite fascinating story. If you go on and you read Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8, you'll see what God did through the obedience of a reluctant young man who at first had a lot of excuses as to why the Lord certainly could not be talking about him. Certainly the Lord wouldn't use him. And so you can read that story. We're not going to take the time to read it today. And God did some great miracles through a reluctant young servant named Gideon. So what's the life lesson that we learn from Gideon today? The life lesson is this: with God, you can do more than you think you can. Amen. With God, you can do more than you think you can. The Apostle Paul said it this way, a very familiar verse we all know, Philippians 4:13, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Can you say amen? You may feel ill-equipped. You may feel a little scared, a little powerless, but God. But God. Amen. There have been great things accomplished for the kingdom of God by people who didn't think they had a whole lot to offer. Little is much when God is in it. So just step out in faith. Say, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. And then, as I heard one man say, pray as if it all depends on God and work as if it all depends on you. If you pray like it all depends on God and work like it all depends on you, you will have great success. That's the life lesson we learned from Gideon, is with God, you can do more than you think you can. Let's look to H. We've looked at seven guys thus far. I think it's time we give the ladies a shot. Amen. After all, God uses men and women in his kingdom, doesn't he? How about Hannah? H. Following the period of Israel being ruled by judges, the Lord was going to raise up a great prophet and priest to guide them before the time when they would eventually have a king. Hannah was the wife of Elkanah, and she was barren. Unlike his other wife, Peninnah, he had two wives at that time in the customs of that day. And one of them was able to have children, and Hannah was not. Well, this inability to have children by Hannah was very crushing to her. It brought great distress to her. It was an embarrassment to her. People ridiculed her, even her own family, and it went on for years and years and years. She could not have children, and it was such an embarrassing thing to her. And she would cry, and she would cry, and she would cry some more. But then she did something more than just cry and not eat that brought her great victory. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Samuel 1, 9 says, once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. The life lesson there, never forget the power of prayer. God sees. God sees. You may be praying about things and wonder if God sees. I want you to know God sees. Hannah did more than just cry, did more than just be in bitterness and in sorrow. She went to the Lord in prayer. And I think she got with it praying. She wasn't just barely praying. She got with it and poured out her heart, and the Lord heard her prayer. I wonder if Samuel would have been born had Hannah not poured out her heart to the Lord. Probably not, at least not by Hannah. The Lord would have found another way to bring his will about. I believe Samuel would have been born some way, but Hannah would not have given birth to Samuel had she not poured out her heart to the Lord. Folks, prayer matters. Prayer changes things. Prayer shouldn't be our last resort. It should be our first option. Amen? Prayer should be our first option, not the last thing we can do when there's nothing else we can do. So thank you, Hannah, for that powerful life lesson of reminding us that there is power in prayer. Number three, this is one you've probably never heard of, or if you're going through the Bible, you've read it. How many of you have read through the Bibles at least one time in your life? Several of you have. You probably read through it many times. So you have read this name, though you probably don't remember it. If you're like me, you wouldn't remember this mighty warrior. It was in the Bible, and his name was Ira, I-R-A. I knew one of the board members at the church in Enid when I was on staff there was named Ira. Great man, Ira Riley. Apparently, there may have been more than one mighty man named Ira, maybe even three. But first of all, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 26. It says, "And Ira, a descendant of Jair, was David's personal priest." Okay? So there's one Ira that's mentioned. Also in 2 Samuel 23, verse 26 and verse 38. Verse 26 says, "Helez from Pelon, Ira, son of Ikish from Tekoa." This is David is listing his mighty men in these verses. He's listing, "These are my mighty men." And he talks about Ira, who was son of Ikish from Tekoa. In verse 38, he mentions another Ira. He says, "Ira from Jatir, Gareb from Jatir. I don't know how it's pronounced. Whatever, however you want to pronounce it, you pronounce it your way. But Ira, these two Iras, and maybe three. We don't know if we're talking about two men or three here. Definitely two, and possibly three, all listed as David's mighty men. And they're repeated. The same list is repeated in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Can I suggest that just as there were mighty warriors for King David back then, that there are mighty warriors for King Jesus today? Amen. The Lord is looking for men and women who are mighty servants, not afraid to align their hearts and their lives under the banner of Jesus Christ. I've always loved the verse found in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." The Lord is searching the earth, looking for people to be his mighty servants. Don't you hope that he'll stop and look at you and go, "Oh, there's one." His eyes are roaming. Oh, there's one. Amen. How many of you want to be one of those mighty warriors that the Lord sees? Amen. So what's the life lesson by Ira? The life lesson is be sold out the whole route for Jesus. Be sold out the whole route. You know, we don't know a lot of details about these IRAs, these IRAs, but they were mighty for the kingdom. I challenge you and me both to be an IRA. Say that with me. Be an IRA for the Lord. Amen. Be all in. Well, moving right along, we come to the next letter in the alphabet, which is J. All right. J. There could be a lot of J's. There's a lot of J's in the Bible. Joshua, Jeremiah, Josiah, Jonathan, even Jabez. We hear about the prayer of Jabez. But I want us to look at a man who went through the worst and most difficult trial ever of anybody. And who would that be? Job. That's right, Job. We've all heard of Job, and we all hope and pray that we will never have to face a trial as bad as Job faced. Amen? What the Lord has to say about Job is incredible. I thought, I've got to talk about Job. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 1. "There was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each one of them. For Job said to himself, "Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular practice. Boy, isn't that amazing just right there? He just said, "Man, God, if my kids have done anything wrong in any way, I just beg you to forgive them and to take care of them and help them, Lord." One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, listen to what he said here. "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." He said he is the finest man in all the earth. Wow. And so we know the Lord goes ahead and he gives Job, or gives Satan, permission to attack Job in every way except physically, and he loses everything. Look down at verse 13. "One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. 'Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabians raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. 'The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with the news. 3 bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Once again, while he was still speaking, these guys are all arriving at the same time, practically all with bad news. Another messenger arrived with this news. "Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Well, that's a bad day, isn't it? Can't imagine. One right after another, bam, bam, bam. And Job stood up and he cried out. He got mad at God and stomped his feet and clenched his fist and said, "I'll never serve you again." Right? Oh, no, it doesn't say that. It says, "Job stood up and tore his robe in grief, and he shaved his head and fell to the ground to" what? To worship. He said, "I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Wow. That's amazing. He fell to the ground in worship. He didn't get mad at God. Kind of in a sense, it was God's fault. God allowed Satan to do that. He said, "Have you considered?" and all that. But Job said, I'm not going to say anything against my God." What's the life lesson from Job? It's this: the wind may blow, but never fail to bow and worship. The wind may blow, but never fail to bow in worship. That is certainly easier said than done, isn't it? When things happen. Even later, when the Lord allowed Satan to attack him physically, he stood the test. Over in chapter 2 at verse 4, it says, "Satan replied to the Lord, 'Skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life.' but reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, do with him as you please, the Lord said to Satan, but spare his life. So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot. Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Wow. The good news is the Lord brought him through it. The Lord brought him through all this. And if you look at the end of the story, like Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story, Job 42, there's 40 chapters of suffering. But verse 12 of the last chapter says, "So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning." If you go back and look, when it talks about the number of sheep and camels, all of those are twice what they were before. "For now he has 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters," just like he had before. Isn't that amazing? "He named his first daughter Jemima." You always wonder where she came from. No. Jemima, however it's pronounced. "The second, Keziah, and the third, Karen Hoppick. In all the land, no women were as lovely as the daughters of Job, and their father put them into his will along with their brothers. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died an old man who had lived a long, full life." Thank you, Job, for pushing through and preaching for us a great life lesson. And that life lesson, once again, is the whole world and wind may blow, but never fail to bow in worship. Amen. Last of all, number 5. I told you we're going through this pretty quick. Some of you thought you were going to be eating lunch at 2 o'clock. Number 5. King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was the greatest of all the kings of Judah. He did what some of the other good kings in the family didn't do. Look at 2 Kings chapter 18. "Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, began to rule over Judah in the 3rd year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. He removed the pagan shrines and smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze serpent that Moses had made because the people of Israel had been offering sacrifices to it. The bronze serpent was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands of the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. He revolted against the king of Assyria and refused to pay him tribute," and it goes on to talk about what he did. Well, some of the other good kings, the kings kind of went like this. There was some did right, some did evil, some did right, evil like that. Some of the other good kings, 2 of them, was Joash and Uzziah. They did good things, but they left up the shrines and the Asherah poles where King Hezekiah tore them down. If you notice in 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and speaking of Joash, it says, Joash began to rule over Judah in the seventh year of King Jehu's reign in Israel. He reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother was Zibiah from Beersheba. All his life, Joash did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight because Jehoiada the priest instructed him. What's the next word? Huh? Yet. Key word right there. Yet, even so, he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. How about flip over to 2 Kings 15? Let's look at another good king, King Uzziah. Verse 1, chapter 15, 2 Kings. Uzziah, son of Amaziah, began to rule over Judah in the 27th year of the reign of King Jeroboam the second of Israel. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecoliah from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. What's the next word? But he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. So, as I said, King Hezekiah did what even the other kings didn't do. Because he did, if you notice back where we're reading about Hezekiah, he did destroy the high places and the pagan shrines and all of that. He did that. He did what even the other good kings didn't do. He didn't have the word yet or the word but in the description of his reign. He made no allowances for anything not right, which is why verse 5 says, what we read a moment ago, there was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. I wonder, had the other kings been like King Hezekiah, if things would have turned out differently for Judah? I wonder, had they not left a little stronghold there, a little foothold for the devil, if maybe things would have been different? We can't give the devil an inch here or an inch there, or eventually he will become a ruler in your life. So what's the lesson from King Hezekiah? Don't give the devil an inch. Don't give him an inch. He will make progress with even just a foothold. Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 says this, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Just a little foothold, just a little place that he can get a grip. Don't give the devil an inch, or he'll eventually become a ruler in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and be completely holy and righteous before God and man with God's help and with the Holy Spirit's help. Five lessons from people who are long dead. So in conclusion, let's review the life lessons of today. Gideon. What did Gideon teach us today? That with God, you can do more than you think you can. If you don't think you can do something, you're not figuring God into it very well. Because God will give you the power to do what you don't think you can do. When the Lord called me to preach, I thought he was kidding. I'm shy. I want to be an accountant. I like to myself. I'm not a people person. Lord, you are making a big mistake. 40 years later, here I am. Gideon was a lot like me, or I was a lot like Gideon at the start, because I didn't think I can or could. But with God, you can do more than you think you can. Hannah H., never forget the power of prayer. God sees. Don't let prayer be your last resort. Make it your first option. Who was I? Ira. Be sold out the whole route for Jesus. J for Job. The wind may blow, but never fail to bow in worship. Good things happen, bad things happen. The Lord be praised the same. Amen. Paul said in Thessalonians, he says, be thankful in everything. He didn't say for just the good things. We can be thankful in everything. Not necessarily for everything. I said in everything. My tire was going down on my truck this week. And after three trips, I finally got it fixed. They kept saying we're going to have to order a tire because the nail is in a bad part of the tire. You're going to have your tire replaced. Okay, we'll order you a tire. It'll be here the next day. I drive up there. They took my tire off, got it all ready to put the new tire on, and then the salesperson comes to me and says, sir, we went to go find the new tire that we just ordered for you, and it didn't make it on the truck. We're going to have to put your old tire back on. You'll have to come back tomorrow. The next day was Wednesday. I said, I can't come on Wednesday. I got church, and all on Wednesday night, I can't be there. We'll come back Thursday. I said, I can't come on Thursday. I'm taking the daycare to Frontier City on Thursday. I can come Friday. So I came Friday and finally got my new tire. I wasn't thankful to make three trips, but I could be thankful in it. Things happen. That's just one little thing. You go through stuff like that too. Things happen, you know. Be thankful in it, not necessarily for it. K, King Hezekiah. Don't give the devil an inch, or he'll be your ruler. A lot of good life lessons for us. I'm thankful that we serve a big and a loving God to help us on this journey, aren't you? Are you on the journey? Jesus, in your heart, you're on the journey? I trust you're on the journey. If you're not on the journey, I can't think of a better day to get on it than today. And if you're on the journey, are you seeking to hear and put God's ways and God's lessons in action in your life? I hope you are doing that today. Father, I pray that you would just help us to remember these life lessons. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not follow after the flesh and follow after the enemy's temptations, but help us, Lord, to remember that you are our healer, that you are our Savior, that you are our comforter and our guide, that you are our provider. Lord, I thank you, God, today for the opportunity to serve you. And I thank you, Father God, for everyone here and their opportunity. You've given them to serve you in this generation at this time. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior and is not following you, or maybe they're watching over the internet, they don't know, I pray for them right now that they would give their heart and their life to you. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. Put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to spend eternity in heaven with you. Lord, help me on this journey. As I live and learn, as I make mistakes, and yet I pick myself up and say, God, I'm going on again. I'm not giving up. I'm continuing to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Help me, Lord, today. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. The team is going to come back and sing a song. I'd like to open these altars and just have an old-fashioned altar service right now. Get down here and say, Lord Jesus, help me to learn these lessons in my life. Could we do that today?
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain.
we can see it, that wonders are still what you do.
Happen when
Praise God. Let's stand together. Father God, we do pray. We need a move of your spirit in our country, in our church, Lord, in our community, Lord, in our families, in our own lives, Lord. We just call upon you to move in us in a mighty way. Move by your spirit, we pray, God, across our lives and across this land. We give you all the glory and all the praise for what you are doing. We thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne and you are in charge. Ultimately, Lord, you are in charge of what's happening. There's nothing going on in our world right now, Lord, that you are not aware of and you are not allowing. Father, we pray that your will would be done, because you're not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance, Lord. Your will is that there be a great move of people towards the narrow road, a great transfer of people from the wide road to the narrow road, going through the wide gate and switch over to the narrow gate. Lord, I pray that you help us as Christians to be facilitators of that, to be witnesses of that transformation in the hearts and in the lives of others that you put in our path. God, we just call upon you for your Holy Spirit to anoint us and to help us to do just that. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.